What's up, everybody? This is part two of the podcast. We are Artificial Intelligence, just a continuation of the conversation from part one. Again, I'm Tom Manning, and I'm here with my dad, Jared.
I think that goes along the lines of like parallel universes. And I'd like to think sometimes that where I am at this specific point in my life, sitting in my living room right now, making a podcast, is just one of trillions or infinite, or back to the other discussion about how many choices there actually are. But depending on my choice, I'm somehow sitting here in my living room making this podcast. But for some reason, I feel like every other choice that I could have made, I've also made. And so I'm also dead in some other parallel universe, or the youngest president or something. I mean, actually, I'm not even old enough to be the president, but I changed the laws, you know, like something crazy happened. But for some reason, my own conscious, I guess, or the me that believes that I'm me, just followed a path to where I am right now based on the choices that the conscious that I have looked at. It's almost like if I could take a step back almost to a fourth dimension, I guess, and almost look at all the different possibilities simultaneously, and for some reason decide that I'm going to go this path of choices instead of this path of choices. And that's what my conscious decided to do to bring me to where I am right now. I can't remember exactly where I was going with that, other than it was just a thought.
But. Well, yeah, let me take it somewhere, because that's interesting. I immediately thought of parallel universes right at the same time that you brought it up. But I wonder if this is a simulation. Let's just say each individual is a separate module in this simulation, and you can sort of run this module within the greater simulation over and over again. And I'm just trying to simplify it, because if it boggles my mind too much to think of the entire universe running over and over again. So
wait, before you go on, can you explain that in simpler terms, because I don't know what you're talking about?
A module, it's just a piece of the program that, if you develop a big piece of software, you can't have one person do it. It's just way too big. And so you break it out into modules that you have different people or different teams produce. And then you have another team that brings it all together so that it works as one piece. Okay. And so let's say in this case, I don't know, maybe each module that each person designed was every individual or something like that. There's a different module that was programmed for each individual. And let's say you get to the point in the simulation where you're about ready to be born, or maybe it's when you're about ready to be conceived, and your module kicks off. Can you kick off the simulation, a given simulation, or kick off the module and let it run within the simulation? But then, you know, let it run, and then you die or whatever, or eventually, and then you go back and say, I'm going to run it again. And then you do this an infinite amount of time. And so that for that given universe, you're going to have an infinite amount of times that you've run your module. So anyways, that's what I meant by module. But then I suppose you could go back and run the universe an infinite amount of times, and then plug your module in an infinite amount of times. But I don't know, maybe on some runs of the universe, your being never comes to be because I died when I was three. Then how is it that you can even exist? I don't know. But at any rate, I'm getting off track. My whole point was, if there are all these infinite universes, and if you ran it, could you then take all the knowledge, all the experiences that you had in these infinite parallel universes, combine them into one knowledge bank, and then dump it down into one person? Like say you, could you really at the end actually be the sum total of all the parallel times that you've actually existed?
I see. It's actually pretty interesting. One of the ideas I had was about how, again, we're in a simulation, and when we die, our life or whatever, who we were, our existence inside the simulation is still inside the memory of the computer somewhere. And I was, the thought I had before was, well, what if the creators of our simulation took that memory of my life and uploaded it into some sort of robotic, or maybe even biologically constructed being that they had in their universe, upload memories on, and essentially just bring me back to life, or put my memories inside of this thing, and now I exist inside of their reality. And it's like I'm basically, essentially, I'm reborn into one level up of simulation than I started in. And now that you say, now the idea of a possibility of now taking the, I don't want to say infinite, because I don't know how you could take an infinite amount of data and store it onto something, but we'll say not quite infinite, but a lot, I guess, of data.
Infinity minus one, right?
Yeah, infinity minus one amount of data, and put it onto like a thumb drive, you know, and upload it on, and then plug it into the back of the neck of some biological robot thing, and download all the memories, and now I'm all of me. I'm all the different Toms from all the different possibilities. And also, wouldn't there be some issues there? I mean, if it were infinite, if you did live an infinite amount of lives and in an infinite amount of universes, you'd have done literally everything. So wouldn't everyone just be the same? And not only that, but like, wouldn't you have a lot of contradictions in your personality? In one universe, you could be the hugest dick ever and be like a murderer or something. And then another one, you're like, you know, found the cure for cancer or something, you know, and you dedicated your life to helping others. And then now you combine these two people inside of one person, along with everything that's even more extreme than those extremes, and then everything in between. And then how would you be able to live inside of one being in that way?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You brought up an interesting question. Would we even be distinguishable from each other if we both had infinite number of existences? Mm-hmm. Couldn't we have done an infinite number of things? And I guess my idea is that each one of us has enough individuality, enough that makes us different, enough essence that makes us, that my infinite number of lives would still be different than your infinite number of lives. Because remember, we can't confuse infinities. Just because two things are infinite does not mean that they're equal,
right?
And so maybe we're not equal. We're both infinite, but we're different. And so maybe when we get our infinite self transferred to this new being, it's been designed in such a way that it can take in all these contradictory lives that we've led, and then make choices in this level one up world or universe that we're in. But it can make better informed choices because it's had so many opportunities to fail and to succeed, and so it has a much better idea of what's quote unquote right. And so as it is progressing, and so maybe what the idea is, hey, we got to keep getting to these one-up universes by progressing. Maybe that's where we're only able to progress at a level in this next universe if we've had these infinite number of lives to live. Otherwise, we're just not smart enough. We're, you know, a bug trying to live a person's life. A bug doesn't have the intelligence to live a person's life. It's gotta be a person.
Yeah, I like to think of things in extreme to really solidify them into my mind. When you made the comment about maybe there's enough individuality or what makes us that we would actually, in fact, be different than, like, my infinite self is different than your infinite self, because we just are somehow, like, fundamentally different somewhere along the line that makes us individuals.
Right.
And I was like, well, I mean, we're still humans. But I think that, like, your bug analogy kind of is like how I would like to think of it in an extreme. And there's just some things that a bug isn't, even after an infinite amount of lives, isn't going to be able to do that I can after an infinite amount of lives. And like, thinking about it like that makes sense, but it's hard to think about it when things are so similar, like two human beings, you know, that exist in the exact same time.
Just expounding upon this idea a little bit, you know, I have my own biases about my existence. We talked about one of those, which is that I believe I have free will. But one of the other biases I have is that I believe I'm unique. You know, I'm uniquely different, and all humans are uniquely different. And so I'm trying to, based on that bias, I'm trying to construct a narrative here of the universe that allows me to retain the things that I believe that I have. And so,
well, wouldn't it be, maybe not better is the right word, but why not just try to be unbiased to any opinion and think about it that way? You know what I mean? Like, just drop any past biases and and think of the questions from that standpoint rather than, because I think maybe confirmation bias might play a little bit of a role if you do that, if you don't do that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate a little bit here too, because just because of that, you know, I'm trying to kind of push that idea of just like, let's forget everything you know or think you know and just look at the facts of what you can see in front of you and whatever and everything that we actually quote unquote know, and then think from that standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, your point's well taken, and I think the reason I bring up my biases is because I do try and be unbiased, but I actually think it's impossible to be unbiased, you know, no matter how hard you try. And so I'm open to ideas and things that would contradict my given assumptions. I'm not going to reject them outright, but by acknowledging my bias, I'm just simply acknowledging what's real with all human beings. That,
yeah, I got you now. You're not set out to try and prove them one way or another. You're just simply stating that I have these biases, so this is where my thoughts go sometimes.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I'm not trying to prove that I'm correct. I'm just admitting that as I think this out, I have a natural tendency to construct something that will confirm my existing point of view. But again,
right.
If you know, I've had my mind change before on things that I fundamentally believed, you know, so it can happen again. I wonder if I can insert sort of an amusing story that has to do with this. It's amusing to me. I don't know how to be that to other people.
Go for it.
Okay. On Sunday, we talked about this, and I mentioned that, man, I'd come to the conclusion that we were most likely living in a simulation. So that was Sunday night. Wednesday night, I had a experience. I was in the hospital. I had injured my back, and the back injury was pinching nerves that led to my legs and feet, and I was in just horrible, horrible pain. I mean, I honestly felt like the biggest wuss on the face of the planet. I mean, I was bawling my eyes out from pain. I think the last time I cried from pain must be when I was probably a teenager. You know, I've cried other times.
It's okay to cry.
Well, it's okay to cry, but to have been, what I'm saying is I'd never been in that much pain in my entire life. It was enough pain that I was crying like a little baby. And so I was in the hospital, and I was hoping that they could treat me. I was in the ER, and the people in the ER thought that I was just some junkie trying to get drugs, that I was going through withdrawal and that I needed drugs. And so they, of course, wouldn't give me any drugs. And so I suffered for 8 or 10 hours, the most intense pain that I've ever felt in my life. And there was a point where I said, this is it. I'm done. Somebody, I would rather have death right now than to continue to do this. It's just not worth it. And I was thinking of ways to strangle myself with my gown, my hospital gown, you know, but I honestly didn't have the strength to do it. And so I was telling my wife this, and of course you can imagine she took it really well, right? That I wanted to die and that I wanted her to finish me off. And of course she wouldn't. I just wanted her to put a bullet through my brain, but she wouldn't. Dang it.
It's an intense story.
So in the depths of my despair, I remembered this conversation we'd had 3 nights earlier, where I told you that I'd finally made up my mind, at least for now, that I thought we were in a simulation. And my deprived or depraved mind nah, those aren't the right words. My suffering mind at that point said, you know what's happening here? The simulators, the people running the simulation, they know that I'm onto them. And so they're going to take me out. They're going to torture me to the point that I commit suicide because they can't bear to have somebody in their simulation who is onto them, who's figured it out, because that's going to mess up their simulation in some way. So that's what my mind thought. Well, there's been a reprieve. I survived. I didn't choke myself out, strangle myself with my gown. I didn't get my wife to blow my brains out. But doing this podcast, I just wonder if the simulators are listening in and if they're like, you know, that was a warning we gave you. Yeah. It was just a warning of what we could do to you if you continue in this mode. And so
if you keep trying to find the truth.
So if I am dead here soon after, just know that it was probably because of this podcast or something. All right. That's a whole lot of paranoia, and it's halfway tongue in cheek, but the other half is just, you know, actual paranoia. So
that honestly doesn't sound like too crazy of a thing to me, honestly. Like, as soon as you said that, I was like, huh, that makes sense.
Yeah, but a lot of people are on to this idea. It's not like we invented it. This idea has been around for a long time, and as far as I know, these people haven't been mass killed off or had mass suicides or anything. So I feel like I'm on pretty good ground, you know.
One of the things that we didn't really get into in our discussion so far, if we are artificial intelligence, but we believe that we're, sentient, or that we have consciousness, or we're human, whatever that means, then at what point, when you make an artificial being, does it become human, or whatever simulation you're in, on whatever tier of simulations that you're living in at that moment, whatever their word for human is, or even if they have one, or whatever their beings that live inside of that reality are, when are you one of the conscious beings of that particular universe? Because I was thinking that you've heard of the singularity, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, so just for anybody that doesn't know, the singularity is basically just the point where artificial intelligence surpasses human intelligence, or I guess is exactly equal, and then will eventually surpass, because it just needs to progress just that much more before it's smarter than us. And then computers can start programming themselves. And then once they're able to do that, they'll learn at like an exponential rate. They're going to surpass human intelligence like in a matter of, I don't know how much time, but like very quickly, like a lot faster than we would. They're going to be a lot more advanced than we were a lot quicker. So my thought process is that, okay, so what if we get to the singularity? What if maybe we don't ever, as human beings, get to design this universe or get to create the next tier? You know, we're somewhere in the line of infinite universes, but in order to keep the line going, we gotta simulate our own. But maybe we're not capable of doing it, and the singularity happens first. In fact, there's people out there that are saying the singularity is going to happen within the next, like, during my lifetime at least. Like, I've seen, like, by 2025 and by 2050 or whatever, like, but not that distant. But maybe once the singularity happens, the artificial intelligence that we created actually creates the next universe, which, I mean, we're artificial intelligence too, so it's kind of weird. But I'm thinking that if we are only able to create the next universe by reaching the singularity, and pretty much the computers just have to program themselves to get there, maybe the program that we're inside of right now was also created by that reality, or that universe's artificial intelligence after the singularity. And so one of the fears of the singularity is that robots are basically going to be like a sci-fi movie, you know, and robots are going to be like, humans are worthless. They're just consuming all of the resources we need to advance. So we're just going to get rid of them, and we're just going to get killed off by all the artificial intelligence. But I feel like the fact that we're alive right now is kind of proof in itself otherwise, because if a singularity happened on the universe that created ours, that means that that universe's artificial intelligence cared enough to make a universe in which we could live in. And so they have some sort of care for the preservation of life to some degree. And maybe that can be programmed into a robot. And I think it can if we are, in fact, artificial intelligence and we care about the preservation of the human race, right? So,
okay. So what I think what I hear you saying is that the fact that we even exist shows that some advanced being had some level of humanity, if you will, which is not the right word because we're probably not talking human, but that, right. That aspect that we call humanity, that basically means there's some empathy, some goodness that exists that will let us survive rather than selfishly just killing us all off.
Right.
And so you think that artificial intelligence, I mean, we may be artificial intelligence step one, and we're in the process of designing artificial intelligence 2.0, which is then gonna design artificial intelligence 3.0, and eventually that artificial intelligence 10.0 or whatever is gonna be smart enough to design a whole new universe. So anyways, I started out talking about one thing and merged into something completely different, but I think I'm partly just restating and talking out loud, stating what you were saying.
Yeah, so it's weird that human characteristic, or I don't even know what to call it, but like empathy, I think, was the best word that I've heard so far. But being able, some sort of artificial intelligence that we designed to have empathy. And I haven't seen a whole lot of science fiction shows where robots take over the world or whatever, but it seems like it's always the robot's goal is to be as efficient as possible. And that's why they destroy the humans, because they're just inefficient. And maybe artificial intelligence that we create won't go there. I mean, if we are in fact artificial intelligence, the fact that we are looking for a purpose, that we're here in this universe looking for a purpose and asking philosophical questions and doing things which make us human, I think means that something with higher intelligence than us is also gonna care about the same types of things to some degree. They're also gonna be looking for their own purpose, you know. They're gonna have some sort of human traits. I'm not sure. They're gonna, you know what I mean. Gonna have some of those.
Yeah, I think the ancient Greek philosophers would have used, they would have used a Greek word, but the word translated into English is virtue. You have these ancient Greek philosophers trying to figure out what is the purpose of life and why we're here and so forth. And one of the things they talk about for man is trying to become virtuous, trying to become good. There's some ethic, that something that makes us good. And so maybe that's part of, as you become more intelligent, as that next generation of AI comes along, maybe there's something inherently good. Maybe, how do I put this?
Like inside of intelligent beings or something like that?
Well, not inside of them, but maybe there's just a principle that as you get smarter, you search for that good. You search for virtue. Part of intelligence is virtue. And the smarter you get, the more intelligent you get, you understand that virtue is something to strive for. And so maybe that's what's really happening, is this is really a search for virtue partly, but we can't really discover what virtue really is or goodness really is until we become more intelligent. Maybe that's the whole point of this exercise, is to find the highest virtue or something like that, whatever virtue is.
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting point. Actually, I've never heard that before or thought of that before, honestly. I don't know. I think it's really interesting.
Well, I mean, I'm biased, of course, by my religious upbringing. And so I tend to think that there is some purpose that leads to goodness. Like the ultimate goal has to be, one, knowledge, and two, virtue. But that's not just me. Like I said, that goes back to the ancient Greek philosophy as well, and to many others, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I mean, and admittedly, I would be biased as well to to want to be alive, like, I would also be biased because I want artificial intelligence to not destroy us. You know what I mean? So I'm going to try and think down that path of thinking automatically. Like, you know, maybe there is some hope for me after all, even if the singularity happens and now I'm really dumb compared to these other intelligent things that exist around me.
Yeah, you don't want to think that. You want to think that you have some purpose and your life has some meaning. That it's not just, you were just a stepping stone to create something greater, which is then eventually going to cast you off and make you meaningless and totally void, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest fears, is that my whole life and existence is really meaningless and in the big scheme of things, and that at the end, I'm just going to blink out of existence and...
That's it.
Well, and that's it. And it will meant nothing. I want an existence where I can continue to level up, you know, as we talked about, and get smarter, get more virtuous, if that's what we're really after. But to become something much greater than what I am right now, I just don't want to die just a man and then not even be there to regret it, or that
not able to regret that you're not able to regret.
Yeah.
What?
Well, you know, like I would really regret it if I could.
Yeah. No.
but by definition, I wouldn't even be able to regret it, which right. I regret.
I think that's kind of, I don't know, like, not satisfying, but fulfilling. That's sort of fulfilling in itself. that if you do just blink out of existence, well, at least you don't have to regret it, because you don't even know. You're not even existing anymore, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if that's satisfying or not. Yeah, it's not giving me a lot of comfort.
Yeah, that didn't help, right? Yeah, I don't know. My brain always goes to living forever as I know now, and somehow finding a way to copy the brain or take your brain and put it into something else. That's what I brought up earlier about, if we were uploaded, our memory was stored in the computer, we were uploaded to the universe that created ours, you know, and we could keep going or whatever. Or maybe they don't even die there because they're even more advanced or whatever. I go down that thought process pretty often, like even here on Earth, I'm like, man, I wonder if, like, because they say, like, I've heard people, and I've been to seminars or whatever, where the people are talking about the first person to live to 300 years old, scientists believe, has already been born today or something like that, because we're going to be able to, our advances in medicine and technology are going to be great enough in the next however many years before that person dies to keep them alive. And I think, man, if I could just be that person and just live forever inside of a robot and live to see, hopefully, the Earth not destroy itself with nuclear weapons, and then eventually advance to the point where we're able to, you know, travel through space on massive scales where it doesn't matter because I'm inside of a robot and I could just shut down and I could travel for billions of light years in one direction and then turn myself back on when I arrived at the solar system that I was aimed at, where there's another planet there that looks like there might be life, and I can go and I can talk to those people and stuff, you know? And so, like, that's like the ultimate goal for me, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Mortality is a tough deal. And I think that's why people, since all recorded history, have some idea of life after death, some, like, their soul or something is still gonna exist. It's just hard to come to grips with the idea that your soul is gonna not exist anymore. And so I hear you. Whatever form this takes, whether it's a soul or you're digitally dumped, I don't think it really matters. It's all the same thing. It's just the essence, your essence of who you are, just needs to be preserved so that it can continue to, you know, learn and see things.
Yeah, just exist. Like, because that's the only, evolution has brought me to where I am, and the only thing that I know is exist, and that's it. And so I just tried, I want to exist or survive or whatever, no matter what, you know. Even in the case, I wrote this down too, I won't go too into it, but, like, even in the case where we're uploaded so many times that we get to the original universe, where we're no longer in a computer program or a computer program's program or whatever, we're actually in the actual universe now, the first one to actually make the computer program. Now, that universe, I'm just assuming that the laws of physics are the same as ours, but their universe is about to end for whatever reason, and everybody's going to die because it's just unable to sustain life anymore. And so now that universe creates a program and it goes backwards now, and they start simulation and then just download all of their brains into that simulation. The last second of that universe's life, they download everybody onto a computer and simulate a trillion years, for example. And then at the last second of that universe, they download again onto the next computer and simulate a trillion years. And so you could just keep doing that infinitely. And so then, like, again, that's my obsession with just, like, wanting to, no matter what, never not exist. Just thinking of extreme scenarios, basically.
Right. I mean, there's the 80 or 100 years we're going to live on this Earth. And even if you could somehow prolong that, well, there's this whole life of the universe thing. And it's like, wait,
yeah,
we got to prolong that somehow too.
Right.
But I don't know. I guess I think we live in a multiverse and there's got to be some way to get from one universe to the next.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's going to bring this episode to an end. I want to thank everybody for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed what you heard. Keep coming back. We're going to have some stuff coming out in the future. I don't have a specific time yet, but keep an eye out. But